Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that we can just be here now, present in your house, your sanctuary. We don't have to worry about running around right now. We don't have to worry about for this one space and time, we don't have to worry about all this cooking. We don't have to worry about presents. We don't have to worry about anything. We just be here and rest in your Son. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who has broken into all of our lives, has interrupted our lives, has been ever present in our lives to show us how much you love us, to be with us, and to save us. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
How many of you like when you're interrupted? Not very many. But you know, it's like interruptions are just so much a part of life. As a father, that I can think of it countless times where, come to think of it, when it's loud, I think things are actually okay because I know the children are alive. When it's quiet, and you're wondering, okay, that's when you know what is going on. And there have been countless times where I have found my children and I've interrupted whatever good time and trouble they were getting into as if it was quiet, right? But interruptions can come in many forms, right? It could be you're trying to get one task done that should be 30 minutes long, and the phone rings, and you decide, well, maybe I shouldn't let that one go to voicemail. I need to answer that phone. Or maybe there's a ring on the doorbell, or there's something else. Or maybe you just are like, maybe I'll just take 5 minutes real quick and play that game on my phone real quick. And then all of a sudden, an hour keeps going, right? Interruptions happen all the time. I called a fellow pastor, a friend of mine, who was trying to take a day to just kind of retreat, have all distractions eliminated so that he could work on a sermon series that he was writing. Like not just one sermon, but try to plan for an entire sermon series. And I said, well, then why didn't you answer the phone? And he said, because the phone's been ringing all day, and I figured at this point, why not? I could use the words of a good friend, right? He meant to have solitude and quiet, and yet interruptions came and happened all day long. They're part of life. And the message of the sermon isn't get used to it. That's what life is, a bunch of interruptions. But it's about talking about the most important interruption of all time. We don't know a whole lot about Mary, except for what the scriptures say about her. We know that she was a virgin. We know that she was betrothed to marry a man named Joseph. Just so that we're aware, and I'm sure as every pastor reminds their congregation every year at this time, a betrothal is a little bit more binding than an engagement. But it's still not quite as solid as a commitment as a marriage is. But it's more of a solid commitment than, say, you're engaged to get married to somebody. So she's legally betrothed to Joseph. She is going to marry this man. And while there are many different depictions of Mary being greeted by Gabriel, we really don't know what exactly was going on in that moment. Maybe she was with her mother, planning her wedding. Maybe she just got back from the markets. Maybe she was doing some chores around the house. Maybe she was at work, earning some kind of a wage. We don't know. But whatever her plans were for that very day, and whatever her plans were for her entire life, They were interrupted when this angel named Gabriel comes to her and says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And, of course, Mary is greatly troubled. It's interesting that the word uses greatly troubled, because oftentimes when angels show up on the scene throughout the scriptures, the very first thing out of the angel's mouth is, "Do not be afraid." But, of course, Gabriel gets to that point. He says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." In her language, in the Hebrew, it would have sounded like Yeshua, which, broken down in the Hebrew, literally means Yahweh saved. Or Yahweh is salvation. So Jesus is the Son of God by name. He is our Savior by name. In his name, he encompasses the very purpose of God's will for all of us, to be saved. Mary's life was interrupted. And what an interruption that was. You're going to conceive a child. And you're going to be called blessed through all generations, Mary. And she should be. How many women can actually claim to be the mother of God? No one can. And so Mary is very special and should be honored. Absolutely she should be honored. She found favor with God. Now, some churches, I don't need to get into church bashing here, but some teach that Mary must have been without sin. No, all fall short of the glory of God. But while Mary has this special place of being the mother of God, of having this interruption given to her, this news given to her, her plans forever changed. We too have found favor in God, with God. Not because of what we've done, but because of who he sent into our lives. One day, I don't know if you, one day your parents might have taken you into a church, and you don't even remember it. And there you were, bundled up all warm, and all of a sudden you get passed to this dude, this guy who's like wearing a dress, a white dress. And all of a sudden, water gets dumped on your forehead, and life was going good, and you just start going, "Wah, I was all comfortable, because you just got wet. And there's this weird guy, and people are celebrating this. Have you ever seen that meme online? Like with a little baby girl, like talking on, looks like she's talking on the phone, and she says, "You wouldn't believe what happened at church today. Some guy in a dress tried to drown me, and everybody's celebrating." Baptism, right? God interrupted your life and said, "You are mine." He called you by name through the waters of baptism, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God can interrupt our lives and say, "You know what? You're going on this one path, and maybe it's not particularly that you're doing a whole lot of sinning, but maybe I just have something better for you in mind. Or maybe you are on the road to hell." And God still says, "Because of who I am, I am going to break into your life, and I am going to interrupt everything that you're doing. Because I love you that much." Now we have to understand, interruptions from God doesn't necessarily mean the path is going to be easy. If I were to stand up here and say, "Oh yeah, Mary had it so easy being pregnant," I'd probably get the wrath of every single woman in here and every single woman listening to the sermon online, including my own dear wife. That wasn't easy. Imagine, too, being, what, maybe 8 months pregnant and having to travel down to Bethlehem. Not in a comfortable car, but journeying, perhaps walking, and maybe riding a donkey, as it was often depicted. We don't know how she got down there. We just know that she did. She had to. She also had to probably deal with how people would respond to this great miracle initially. Mary, you're pregnant? How? You're not married yet. What did you do? Nothing, Mom. Nothing, Dad. An angel of the Lord came to me and told me I would have the Son of God. I wonder, and this is mere speculation. I'm not saying that this happened, but I wouldn't be shocked if some of Mary's closest relatives had to have Gabriel show up and say, don't shun Mary, protect her. And the reason why I say this is because Joseph, who we know to be a righteous and upright man, from the book of Matthew, he heard that his woman that he was betrothed to, the woman who was going to be his wife, was pregnant. And instead of going about it publicly and bringing shame onto the family, he decided to divorce her quietly and not make a big deal out of it. And he was going to go through these plans until, hello, his plans were interrupted by who? Gabriel, a messenger from God. And Joseph faithfully stayed with Mary. And he was there as perhaps the most well-known and famous stepfather in the entire world. It wasn't easy. God doesn't promise that your life in this world is going to be easy all the time. But thanks be to God that he sent this holy interruption. The world stood fallen. And God says, I'm going to interrupt all of history. The creator of the universe, who formed everything, who gave breath of life to us all, who sewed us and knit us all together fearfully and wonderfully in the wombs of each of our mothers. He sees us all in this fallen nature. And he says, now is the time, Gabriel, to go and tell Mary that the Savior of the entire world is going to be carried in her womb. Why did God do this? Well, I know it's not a Christmas text per se, because it was said on a rooftop with the Pharisee named Nicodemus. But it is very fitting for this time of year. Why did Jesus come? Why was Jesus incarnate? Why was the Word of God made flesh? Why did God do this holy divine mystery where the creator of the universe became a flesh and blood human being? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I'm not going to leave this sermon saying I'm going to enjoy every single interruption that I have in my entire life, because that's just a lie, right? But I can rejoice that God counted you and counted me worth interrupting our lives for.
share his son with us, to share himself with us, because again, this divine mystery, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? And to not only share himself with us, to be Emmanuel with us, God, God with us, but that God should take our place. Took on the punishment of the sins that we deserve to be punished for. And he did it willingly because he loves you that much. And furthermore, his life, this hard life, comes to an end. Even as hard and difficult as this life is, we dread the end. We dread death. And even begin, and now even with God, death is just merely the gateway to paradise with God. Because Jesus conquered death as well. God forgave your sins through Jesus. And God conquered death through Jesus. Life changed forever. History changed forever. Your lives are changed forever. Because God said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to interrupt my creation a little bit. But we're going to change some things up. Because the devil may think it's his world, but that's my creation down there. So I'm going to interrupt Satan's plans. I'm going to interrupt the plans of sinners. And I'm going to save them. Because that's how much he loves the world. He sent his only begotten Son. Believe in him. And I know you do. You shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.